Your speaker in this lesson is Harold Bigham.
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. How that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3:3-4. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. We can understand what the will of the Lord is for us today. How do we understand God's will? How do we know the truth? Today we want to study this vital and crucial topic. It is a subject that will help us to hopefully resolve to be better students of God's Word by seeing the importance of hearing the Scriptures. God communicates to us through His Word. As such, He tells us what we must do in order to be pleasing to Him. Let us devote our time in studying this crucial subject today. First of all, how you hear is important. Jesus said, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Luke 8:18. Hearing the gospel requires a serious responsibility on the hearer or the listener. Jesus spoke of the process of hearing. Some during the time of Jesus did not want to hear correctly. He spoke of their hearing being dull. "For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Matthew 13:15-16. Their ears were dull of hearing, not because of any physical impairment, but because of a personal choice that they had made. They chose to not hear or obey what Jesus was saying. Hearing is much more than recognizing audible sounds. They were hearing the words verbally spoken, but the words did not prick their heart. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37. Jesus said, "The one who hears will be blessed." Our attitude should be such that we have a noble desire to hear the truth. Be like the noble Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Acts 17:11. But then secondly, what you hear is important. God's plan of salvation involves the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. Luke's account says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Luke 24:47. Hear the pure word of God taught, and not the doctrines of man. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15:8-9. Paul spoke of the serious duty of only preaching the pure word of God with a motive to save man and not to please man. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We must have a desire to be ready to hear what God's word commands. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, and thou art come. Now, therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Acts 10, verse 33. Have the heart of Cornelius, as we read in the book of Acts, chapter 10, and in verse 33, when he says that we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. But then finally today, be a honest hearer. The Bible says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke 8:4-15. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11. Nothing is wrong with the seed. God's word has the power to save mankind. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Notice the types of hearers. First, Jesus spoke of the hearer with a closed mind, an unteachable heart in verse 12. Let us never be one who makes the decision to not have a willing and a teachable heart. Then Jesus taught about the hearer who didn't count the cost in verse 13. We must understand that following Christ has demands and also rewards. We must count the cost. Paul said, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Jesus spoke of the person who intended to build a tower and even lay the foundation, but didn't count the cost. He ran out of resources to complete the job of building the tower. He was mocked by them when unable to finish the project, and they said, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Luke 14:27. And then Jesus spoke of the hearer who had an unquenchable desire for things of life in verse 14. This desire choked out the seed or the word of God. Don't allow the cares, pleasures, and riches of this world to interfere with your salvation. The last here is spoken of as having an honest and good heart in verse 15. This is the type of hearer that is pleasing to God. One out of four souls or hearts was pleasing to God. This is the type that we all should desire to be. Be honest in your hearing of God's word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Jesus said that this type of soul, our heart, is honest and good. This is what we should desire to be. My friend, God's plan of salvation reveals that after hearing the gospel being taught, that we are to have faith. Romans 10:17, Mark 16:15-16. This faith leads us to repent of our sins and to confess the good name of Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Luke 13:3-5, Romans 10:9-10. The final step of God's plan of salvation is scriptural baptism for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Baptism puts one into Christ and into his church. Acts 2:42-47. Paul wrote, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as be baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. Jesus' blood is that which will wash away our sins. It is by contacting his blood that we have the grace of God and our sins are forgiven, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. We contact this blood, the blood of Christ, through scriptural baptism for the remission of our sins. As we've been baptized into Christ, he adds us into his body. Acts 2, beginning in verse 42, throughout verse 47. And therefore we are to be faithful, yes, even until we die for him. Revelation 2:10, to go to heaven in the after while.